الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عنه عمله إلا من ثلاثة إلا من صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear friends. There was a time when a mu'min, a Muslim, a believer, he was known to be an embodiment of the highest level of morals, ethics, and honesty and every other positive and good character trait that could be imaginable. To the extent that, let alone other Muslims, even non-Muslims recognize this, and they recognize this sometimes merely by the visual appearance of the Muslim and the believer. If he was wearing a kurta and a topi, or if he was donning the beard, then it was already set in the mind of that disbeliever even, that this person is a trustworthy, honest person. This person is a person who maintains his word. He's not a person that will go against his word. He's a truthful person. He won't do you down. He's a person that will advise you and guide you towards what is best for you. However, with the passage of time and due to certain factors, a degradation and a sort of decay has crept in to the mu'min, to the believer, whereby these qualities, these good, high morals are becoming slowly, gradually eroded and sometimes lost altogether. And sadly, the opposite is now heard. Many, many a times you'll hear people speaking from the non-Muslim quarters also, that if you see this person here, you must watch out. He's wearing the Muslim clothes. He's wearing the hat, the topi. He's got a big beard. You must watch out. Because if you're doing some business deal with him, he may do you down. Very, very sad words to hear, but it is a reality. It is a reality that there is a problem, that the morals, the high morals, the high ethics, and the sublime qualities and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was prevalent in the ummah, which was prevalent amongst the believers, for some reason is gradually depleting and leaving the lives of the believers. So we have to understand that there is a problem. Now, when we understand that there is a problem, when a person knows that there is a problem, then a foolish person is that person who adopts an ostrich mentality, whereby he thinks that he covers his head under the ground, then the problem is going to go away and leave him. No. If there is a problem, then an intelligent person, a person who wants to see a change and make a change and improve, then that person has to adopt some steps. The first step a person has to adopt is acknowledgement of the problem. If you have some problem, you have to acknowledge that there is a problem. You have to first be convinced yourself that there is some problem, there is an issue. And thereafter, once you have acknowledged that, then you have to start looking for what is the root cause of that problem. Could be a cause, could be many causes. Once you have understood what are the root causes of the problem, you have acknowledged that you have a problem, you have pondered over the causes of the problem, now a person can make some constructive effort in remedying the problem, correcting the problem, improving himself, and coming out of this issue that he was in, coming out of this problem and improving himself. And this is applicable in a person's dunya and in a person's deen. As an example, a person has a heart condition, he has maybe blocked arteries, etc. It's not going to help him if he's going to just shelve this. The doctor has told him, he's gone for a consultation, he's not feeling well himself. Now he has been diagnosed that he's got a condition with his heart, that he's on the borderline. It's foolish of him to think that, no, let me just carry on, let me just do whatever I've been always doing, and the problem will go away, or nothing will happen. No, the person has to accept that I have a problem. And then he has to know that there are certain causes for the problem. I'm eating the wrong things, my lifestyle is not right, I've got too much of stress, as an example, or I'm not exercising enough, etc. And then he has to rectify these things and improve these things. And sometimes he has to also tolerate the rebuke of the doctor. The doctor is sometimes going to be hard on him. He's going to shout him. Or he's going to give him some medication that's not going to be palatable to him. But he's going to do all these remedies to correct himself and to fix himself up so that he can live a better and a more comfortable life by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if a person has a problem in his deen, there's something that is wrong with him, he has pride in his heart, for example, or he's not following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one or many regards, then he has to acknowledge that I have a problem, there's something wrong with me. And then he has to go to the correct people, to the Ahlullah, to the correct channels, and find out now what is the root cause of this problem, and then remedy this problem and fix this problem up. The consequences of a worldly problem will finish off in this world. Like if a person has a heart condition, he doesn't care for himself, then at the most he will pass away with a heart attack, etc. But the consequences of a problem in a person's deen don't end in this world. If he doesn't fix up those problems, then he will be accountable for it in the akhirah as well. So ulama have explained that with regards to these beautiful, sublime qualities that were once the salient feature of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, good morals, good ethics, with regards to their muamalat and the muasharat and the akhlaq, etc. The fact that these qualities are dwindling and leaving the ummah in many quarters, ulama have explained that one reason, amongst other reasons, is the attachment to worldly things, material things, things of this dunya. Where a person makes his whole world, his whole life revolve around acquisition of more material possessions, more things of this dunya, better things of this dunya. And this is the mentality of the West. This is the mentality of the disbelievers, that this world, they try their best to make it a so-called Jannah, a so-called heaven for themselves. That everything must be found, every comfort must be found, every whim and fancy, every desire must be fulfilled, no matter at what expense. So this is the way of the disbelievers. This is the way of the kuffar, of the mushrikeen. Sadly, by becoming immersed in their way of life, by interacting with them and seeing this glamorous life before us, a Muslim sometimes becomes swept away by this thought and by this frame of mind also, and sadly starts behaving in this manner. This is very, very detrimental to a person's deen, to a person's dunya, and to a person's deen. Because once a person has this materialistic mindset that everything is just for the sake of living in this world and we'll do as we please, enjoy every comfort as we want, fulfill every desire as our heart and our mind tells us, then a person will be trampling on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will be going against the ahkam and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will be smashing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is impossible for a person to fulfill all his desires, all his whims and fancies, and at the same time follow the sunnah and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%. Because deen has certain restrictions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain things permissible and certain things impermissible. But the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a pristine, perfect guideline of how our life is supposed to move towards Jannah, towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the manual, this is the way for a believer, for a Muslim. The way of the West, the way of the disbelievers, the free-thinking mentality of doing whatever you want at the expense of your family, at the expense of your loved ones, at the expense of your children, at the expense of your parents. This is the way of the West, this is the way of the disbelievers. This is not the way of the mu'mineen, this is not the way of those who are the ummatis of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Studies have shown that with regards to the West, with regards to the Western culture, that in this pursuit of materialism, in this pursuit of wanting everything of the best and wanting to fulfill every woman fancy and every desire, amongst many things that the West has lost and has sacrificed, is their children, is their generation of their youth. Studies have shown that many, many affluent families, many multi-millionaire dynasties, they are plagued with depression. They are plagued with their youth and their children going towards alcoholism, towards drugs, towards depression, towards suicide. So then the question to be asked is that despite having such huge empires, despite having so much of the dunya, despite having billions of dollars, etc., why is their life being plagued with these difficulties? Why is their life being, why is there so much of unhappiness in their lives? This is obviously because this is not the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wished for us to live. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wished for us to live within the parameters of iman, within the parameters of deen, within the parameters of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when this type of behavior is seen from disbelievers, from the people who are kuffar, who have only dunya in their hearts, it's somewhat understandable. But when this behavior is seen from the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Muslims, from those who have been given the Quran, who have been given the way of Allah subhanahu, has been shown the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have been given and blessed with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is a very, very sad occasion, a very, very sad reality. And the bitter pill to swallow is that the reality of the problem is that we as believers have also made materialism, secular progress, the forefront of our thoughts and the forefront of achievement for our children, for our families. So the concern and the worry and the focus is that the child must excel in his secular studies. He must go to the best secular school, no matter what the implications and the repercussions be on his dini ta'lim. He must go to the best secular school so that he can get a very good degree or end up with a top profession so that the child can earn a lot of money and be comfortable in this world. And at the same time, we will be prepared to sacrifice and to sideline the deen of that child. In this pursuit of making this child a money-making machine, in this pursuit of making this child a materialistic person whose focus is only going to be on the dunya and the things of this dunya, we don't realize that by this behavior of ours, where we show preference to the secular education and we sidetrack the dini education, whereby we will say that they can go to madrasa, but if there are extracurricular activities at the school, or if there are certain tuitions, or if there are certain other occasions taking place in the school, or if it's time for exams and tests and assessments in a school, or if there are some homework and assignments that have been given, then that takes preference. You don't have to go to madrasa on those days. Or you can take early leave from madrasa on those days. Or you can miss madrasa on those days. So what is the impression being created on that tiny mind of that child? What is the impression that is being created on that heart of that child that dunya is more important and deen is by the way? If there's time for deen, then we'll practice on deen. But dunya, material progress, that is the main thing. That is the focus. That is where my focus is supposed to be. Respected brothers and elders, this is a detrimental action on our part as parents, because we are destructing our own future. That very child, that very youngster, boy or girl, who we are conditioning their mind in this way, by sidetracking their dini ta'lim and bringing them fully onto a secular front and showing them the importance of the secular front, that same very child, when he grows up, he or she grows up, in this, immersed in this material way and the way of the West, will be the first one, and this has been proven in many instances, to sidetrack you as a parent at the time when you will need them most. At the time when you will be old, and at the time when you will need them to be as your support, at your side, to care for you, their mind has already been conditioned that whatever is an obstacle in material progress needs to be sidetracked, needs to be put one side. So now, when you are gone old, you no more an asset to them. You no more bringing money to them. You no more seeing to their material progress. Rather, you have now become a liability that they have to take care of. And that is what has been conditioned in their mind through the secular studies. So, one of the first people to bear the brunt of our actions would be we ourselves. I'm discussing this topic because it is just a few days now before schools are going to start, before madrasa is going to start. On the 15th, on Wednesday, schools are starting, madrasa is starting. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, that in everything, we want the best for our children. We often hear people saying that, no, I went through a lot of difficulties when I was young, I want the best for my child. No, I will sacrifice my own comforts now, but my child must have the best. So like we want the best for our children, with regards to deen, which is permissible, as long as it is within the parameters of sharia, as long as it is within the parameters of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are allowed to give our children, and we are ourselves are allowed to enjoy things of this dunya as long as it is within the parameters of deen. However, when it goes out of the parameters of deen, as I have mentioned, then this becomes a problem. So, as we want the best for our children when it comes to deen, when it comes to the dunya, more especially when it comes to their deen, we need to look for the best. Sadly, calls have also already started coming. Parents have already started contacting me from last year that this year my child is going to be in this grade, so they're going to be swimming on these days and these days. They're going to be cricket on these days and these days. They're going to be soccer in this term and that term. So the child is not going to come for so many hours on this day, not going to come on so many hours on that day. So we need to think for ourselves that the time when we're going to be in our qabr, when we are going to need that deen that we shared and we made arrangements for our child, for that child to be able to read some Quran Sharif for us, to make some dua for us, to send some ithal sawab for us, at that time that child will be dribbling around. Because we were focused more on the extracurricular activities, we were focused more on the secular studies, we were focused more on everything else besides the madrasa, besides the maktab. So when we're looking for a maktab, when we're looking for a madrasa for our children, we must have that same fervor, or even greater fervor, that we're looking for the best. We're looking for that madrasa where they are teaching the best, where the hours are complete for a full week, they are learning a full week of madrasa. Not where I can pull strings, where I can just convince the ustad or the teacher that no. Rather, I shouldn't even use the word convince. It has reached a stage now, sadly, because we are in it, because we are doing it every day, it has reached a stage now that we are on the receiving end as ustads in a maktab. Why? We think to ourselves sometimes that this parent is making a demand that they want their child to go for this extracurricular activity on this day and on that day, and they won't come on this day and don't come on that day. Previously, the ustad would say, no, madrasa time is madrasa time, you follow the rules and you come to madrasa. Now the reality has become such, the attachment, Allah save us, for dunya has become such, that very easily the parent will tell you, okay, no problem, Maulana. Then since you can't accommodate for all that sports and all that extracurricular activities, we take the child out of madrasa. We take the child out of madrasa. Now we, as asatiza, as ustads, are on a guilt trip that we try to improve that child's madrasa experience by making them convinced to come madrasa every day. But this is what it turned out. They took the child out of madrasa completely. We need to think, brothers. We need to think where we are going with this self-destructive mode of ours. The ustads in the madrasa have love and concern for the iman of your children. Hence, they want your children in the madrasa for the full time, so that they can learn and they can practice and they can be an asset to you when you need them, when you are going to be 6 feet under the ground. There is definitely a benefit to the ustad. It will be a sadaqah jariyah for the ustad also. But the benefit to you as a parent, that your child is going to be nurtured with Islamic, in an Islamic environment, being given the correct, explained the correct akhlaq, correct morals, correct ways, is to your benefit and for the child's benefit. So let us make the intelligent choice. Now it is the beginning of the year when we are scouting around and shopping around for schools and madrasas. Let us think what is going to benefit me and my child in the everlasting life of the akhirah, not in the transitory short life of this world. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillah.